Welcome to Cats and Rats Podcast, covering your Florida Panthers.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the latest Cats and Rats Podcast episode number 9, the Weiser edition, we can call it, you guys.
Pretty happy. Yes, sir.
Steven Weiss, he deserved better fate than what he had with the organization. Would have loved him on this team right now. Panthers are rolling up 2-0 in the series as of this recording. Game 1, 3-2 win in regulation. Game 2, 3-2 overtime win. Lots to break down in this one, but I'm going to throw to my one of my co-hosts here first, Nick Levine, also joined by Cody Stevens here today. Nick, you were in the building for both games. Just talk to us a little bit about the atmosphere. Any fun stories about Game 1 or Game 2 while you were in the building? What a time. What a time to be a Panther.
Kirby, nice speaking to you too, man. Yeah, that the atmosphere in both games, you know, like I remember vividly 2 years ago, everybody was kind of, you know, talking crap about, you know, the atmosphere in the Panthers game, particularly during that Lightning series, the one we got swept. And, you know, to just see the, like, again, it's still a work in progress, but overall, like, the crowd has been unbelievable these first two games. Like, from that, like, that Sergei Bobrovsky save, like, in my opinion, the reaction after that beat any reaction after the goal. Like, that was unbelievable. And just the whole thing, really, like, the whole atmosphere, really, like, the Panthers have been pushing the pace of play, and, you know, it's just been unbelievable to see where this franchise has gone in just a short period of time. It was some of the best moments. Like, this beats any playoff. Like, Game 2 for me beats any home playoff game for last year, the overall experience of it. So it's just been unbelievable.
Well, Nick, it was awesome that you were able to attend those games live. You've attended so many games live through this past season, and obviously the last playoff run being in attendance for all those games. Cody, what are your thoughts on early on here with the Panthers and kind of how this series is shaping up? And we'll get into, like, greater detail here in a second, as I've got a lot of points of emphasis to mention in this series, and a lot of them are leaning towards the Panthers as of right now.
I mean, this is the start that I mean every Panther has dreamed of in this series, you know, Tampa Bay being like our demons of the past that we need to slay in order to move forward. Everything's like leaning more in Florida's favor. Like you said, we're going to get more into detail into it, but right now it's hard for me to think about this team losing 4 out of the next 5. I really don't think it's going to happen.
Gentlemen, I wanted to start with, like, the goaltending battle first, but I think we're going to switch that up here on the fly, and we're going to talk about the coaching matchup. John Cooper and Paul Maurice, heard on the national broadcast, like, these are two of the most calm coaches, cerebral coaches. Nothing really phases these two gentlemen. But right now, you got to give the edge to Paul Maurice here early on in this series. Nick, if you want to start here, Cody, jump in anytime. Kind of just break down this coaching matchup here that we thought was a really critical head-to-head kind of matchup here coming into this series, and whatever way it would slant would probably, maybe that's the way the series would go.
I mean, and when you take a look at John Cooper, like, first of all, you take a look at what Paul Maurice has done. Obviously, having the home ice advantage with the matchups, right? Alexander Barkov's line being out there against the Kucherov line, it's been a big story in this series, but it's hasn't really just been that. I mean, the Lundell line and the Bennett line has been matched up against it. I think it's more like, I think both coaches, obviously, they're terrific coaches. I think John Cooper is a little handcuffed here when it comes to certain things. Like, you take a look, like, I know yesterday he swapped Duclair and Hagel, first and second line at some point, I think after that first period, because Tampa's gotten off to poor starts in each of the first two games, and I think they've responded well to that. You know, they've come out of that, you know, pressure that we put on them. They ended up being tied games at certain points. So when it comes to responses by Tampa, I mean, you have to give John Cooper some credit. You know, I do think that our forecheck, again, it's going to be difficult to adjust because part of it is coaching, but also part of it is personnel, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of not as bad, but similar to what Paul Maurice dealt with last year. Like, there's not a ton they can do when it comes to, like, lineup, lineup changes, right? I know yesterday they won 11-7 and Tanner Janot went out, right? But overall, I think it's really been like as important as the coaches are. I truly believe that it has been the story of this, and we'll get into this later, is the goaltenders and just our player, each man on man. Like, I think coaching plays a role, but it's not playing as big as a role of a role yet as I thought it would.
And Cody, I just want to work off of one of Nick's points there, and I want to propose it to you. He said Tampa Bay has responded after these slow starts in both game one and game two. You got to give credit to the coaching staff and credit to the Lightning. Now let's flip that for a second. What if that was us starting slow in game one and game two and losing both games one and game two? How would our fan base, Cody, react in these post-game spaces shows that we have, obviously on Twitter and things like that? So we're kind of giving praise to Tampa Bay, like Nick mentioned there, for coming back after these slow starts. But I don't think that would be acceptable in Panther Nation, Cody.
I think they responded well in game two. I don't think they responded at all game one. I mean, they were outshot every single period game one, and I think it was single digit shots each period too. So
I think that middle period, or that second period, Tampa Bay has re that's been their best period this series.
but that's been their only good period, which is game two, second period. All the other ones, the Panthers have owned them. Like game one, if like you said, the only reason they scored was that mistake off the faceoff circle. They haven't really generated anything else 5-on-5 besides that deflection by point game two, but
Maybe line to the Stamkos line there. They had a little bit of juice in the first game.
Stamkos has been their most noticeable forward this series, but right when it,
Hagel, honorable mention. Isamont's been okay, but not enough, right, Cody?
yeah, but like when it comes down to coaching, it doesn't feel like it's not that big as a matchup as we thought, because right now it just feels like, oh, what's Cooper gonna do? Like Maurice is kind of just set. Like it doesn't feel like he has to do much on his side of the ice. It's just more of like trying to
I
Cooper kind of
think
find the
we're
right
gonna see.
lineup.
I think we're gonna see a lot of like game three and four are gonna tell a lot about the adjustments made by the coaches. Because again, I agree with what Cody said. I mean, there hasn't really been much done when it comes to adjustments in coaching, in my opinion, yet. I
It's
mean,
just when it comes down to it, the reason why I think the series the way it is right now is, and let me just start by saying this. I completely disagree with the notion that the core guys, aka Point, Stamkos, Hedman, Vasi, whoever you consider, are washed. I just think right now they don't have the guys around them anymore.
because when our fan base says that washed, or you see that out there, are they saying like they don't see this team in the playoffs in the near future? They're completely falling off the map. Because this is a team, whether they get into the playoffs as we see right now as a wild card, or maybe third in the division, they're going to be able to challenge teams. I just think this division, Cody, is very matchup based. You're seeing it right now in the Boston Toronto series, slim margins there. Little mistakes costing mainly the Toronto Maple Leafs, but again, it's all about matchup based. And I think Tampa, for calling them washed and their core guys and their secondary core guys, they know how to build a good program there. They're a good organization. I don't think they're just going to disappear, and I don't think they're just going to disappear in this series either. And if we keep beating again, these are one goal wins, razor thin margins. Maybe not as thin as the Carolina series if you look at it really deep, but we're not blowing the doors off of Tampa here. Where there's points in the game where we're dictating it, guys, to them, dictating our pace and our style. And I think that has been a Panther series. But again, these are really slim margins. And Tampa starts to connect on an extra power play or two. And we're going to get into the goaltending matchup here in a second. One goal here allowed, one goal there. It's going to make a big difference in this series. And now it shifts to Tampa.
But right now, it's just the depth of Florida is just because bottom six is bottom six. Florida is killing them because our third line is not really hemmed in. The fourth line is never hemmed in. It's usually their third or fourth line's hemmed in their own zone. It's just like right now, you're seeing the difference between the Mikey A.C. Monts and Anthony Duclairs and Mitchell Chafee's compared to Andre Palat, Alex Killorn, Blake Coleman. Like you're seeing those differences now. And it's just night and day. And And right now, it's just their defense has been probably their biggest problem, which is where Cooper's probably handcuffed the most.
Yep. I think as this series goes along, gentlemen, we're going to talk about the defensive matchups a little bit more. It hasn't come to the forefront yet with the Aaron Ekblads, Gustav Forslunds, Brandon Montours, even Victor Hedman. Hedman had a pretty good game two there, but I think that will be a bigger storyline as we go along and cover these recaps here every few games on this on our podcast here. But gentlemen, let's get into the goaltending battle here. Two words: Sergei Bobrovsky. Nick, I'll start with you. You were in the building. Break down that big save. Just break down how Bobrovsky has been in this series. And Vasilevskiy has been good. I'd give him an A minus, B plus, but Bobrovsky's matched that and even exceeded that.
Well, I think first of all, I'm going to break down that save. So I believe Tampa Bay was pushing at the time. They were coming with some pressure, and the only thing I remember is seeing Bob out, a little out of position, and the puck kind of popping out, and I see a Dumba coming down, and it was like a slow motion. I'm like, oh crap, it's going in. So I'm looking like at the back of the net just to see the puck going, and I don't see it go in. I'm like, what the? Like, and the whole it was the greatest save I've ever seen. And what made it even better was like the whole crowd afterwards. It was just an unbelievable moment, and it would kind of change the momentum of the game a little bit, because I if that puck goes in, we're having a very different conversation right now, more than likely, because we know how Vasilevskiy can be when you get that one goal lead. But yeah, I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky, he it's weird because he has it's kind of been a little difficult for him because he hasn't gotten a lot of action early in games, right? Like, you take a look, like, I think he only had 3 shots in the first period in game two, and then it was like 15 minutes in game one that he faced his first shot. So, and we've heard Paul Maurice talk about this a ton. Like, that's very difficult for a goalie to do. And, Sergei Bobrovsky, has he been tested as much as Vasilevskiy? No, but he's looked sharp when he's needed to make big saves. He's made quite a few big saves. I think like maybe 4 or 5 really like unbelievable saves, like 2 in the final 2 minutes of game one. And then I think he made obviously the one I just spoke about and another one in game two. So
The one on
he's made,
Duclair.
the one on Duclair, that's a third one. So he's made some big time saves. He hasn't been tested as much, but he's been sharp, stopped what he needed to, and he's kind of kept the team in the game with some unbelievable saves. And Vasilevskiy, I mean, like you said, Kirby, he's been very good.
He
Like,
stonewalled that second line, Kachuk, Verhaeghe. I know
yeah.
Bennett got one by him in game two, but
You
he's been
know,
really good against that second line.
John Cooper mentioned this in his post-game press conference. He's like, as like, the Bobrovsky save was unbelievable. They have momentum after that. Vasilevskiy makes a backdoor save on Matthew Kachuk. And he says if that goes in, that changes everything. Bobrovsky, the big save. Kachuk, if he scores there, completely flips the script. And Vasilevskiy, he's come up with some really big saves. Like,
I mean, there's
he's been good.
none of the goals that we have scored are really his fault, really.
Exactly. And I think we're doing a good job at getting traffic in front of the net and having some deflections. That's kind of what we have struggled to do in the past. But again, Vasilevskiy's only allowed 5 goals this series. And what's his save percentage? Like 922?
I don't have a save percent in front of me here.
Something to that
It's
effect.
like over 920. So
922.
yeah, you can make
Thanks, Connor.
it. He's been their best player, Andrei Vasilevskiy. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's and obviously, like, again, he's kept them in these games as we expected him to do. They just haven't gotten the other stuff hasn't materialized when it comes to scoring and stuff. So I think both goaltender, I think both you can make an argument that the best players in these series for both teams have been the goaltenders
Cody,
by a
anything to
bit.
touch? Yeah, Cody, anything to touch on there that Nick didn't on either Bob Vasilevskiy or
I mean,
Skultay matchup in general?
Bob has only faced 42 shots in 2 games here, which is significantly lower than what he was facing last playoffs. He faced probably 42 in 1 game. Now he's facing 42 in 2 games, which is speaks to the level of how much our defense has just been way better this year because of,
Shot
upgrades.
suppression, penalty killing percentage,
Yeah.
and opportunities, all of that, Cody.
And just upgrades on personnel.
Yeah,
But
even better back checking forwards, adding the E-Rods into the world, Lundell being a year older, Luostarinen a year more experience, having a guy like Kevin Stenlin in there, 5-on-5 penalty kill, having Nick Cousins down the lineup further has really added some depth to the Panthers here and some juice to the lineup. And then we didn't talk about him, but Tarasenko's been great. What a great addition on that top line there. So all of that kind of combined, it does help you defensively because if you have the puck, the other team doesn't have the puck. And then, when the Tampa Bay Lightning go 1-for-6 in any game, in any situation, that's a win for the Panthers right there.
And I think they've done a good job of keeping them to the outside for
For
majority of
Bob.
the time for Bob. Like, there's been times where Tampa Bay has some extended zone time, and we're doing a good job keeping them to the outside and, not letting them get to the front of the net, clearing out the front of the net really well. And, there was a time here in game two where Tampa Bay again was really pushing. They threw it on net, Bob covers, we go to commercial break, we regroup. So it's been obviously a collective effort of every forwards, defense, goaltending, but like I said, he hasn't been tested that much, but there are four or five big saves you could point back to here that really are the big reason why the Panthers, and in key moments too, that the Panthers have this serious lead, really.
Yeah, now guys, we've broken down everything here, rosy picture for the Panthers, but we got to get into the latest news on Sam Bennett. If you guys were checking out social media, oh my goodness, it was a crazy scenario playing out because I first read from Andy Slater, kind of one of the initial tweets that I read. He said, just in, Florida Panthers center Sam Bennett will be out for a lengthy period of time. Multiple sources tell me. And then later on, you see Jamison Olive. I've got one from Tim Reynolds here that said, Sam Bennett, about an hour after Andy Slater's tweet, Sam Bennett will be out for at least a week. Paul Maurice said, it's better than the Panthers first feared. So initially, when Sam Bennett went down the tunnel from the Brandon Montour slap shot to the wrist area, he threw his glove. It looks like he was frustrated. You're thinking the worst, broken wrist, something to do with the forearm area. Now, if he's only going to be out a week, is this like a small, slight hairline fracture, just a deep bone bruise? Again, Sam Bennett, I think there was a comment too, Cody and Nick, whoever wants to jump in here. It's like getting in, and Cody, you're familiar with this right now. When you get into a car accident, you're so upset, and then you get out of your vehicle, then you just see, oh, it's just a fender bender, and you take a big sigh of relief that it's not worse than that. So again, what do we think here with Sam Bennett? And we talked about the depth a little bit. This is the least I've been stressed about for a major key injury for the Panthers that I can remember in recent memory. I'm just so confident with Alexander Barkov as our 1C. Anton Lundell coming up to that 2C position. Stenlin for the short term, filling in maybe at that 3C role. You've got Eetu Luostarinen that has an option there to play there. You got Steven Lawrence further down the lineup that could slide into that 4C role. So many guys we've talked about this year that can play the center position, take draws. Very versatile lineup that Bill Zito has constructed here. So I think, guys, if it's just for a week plus, we're able to get through this, I think. And
I think we could afford to have him out for like the rest of the series with the way Anton Lundell's been playing.
Yeah. He's been unbelievable the last month, Lundell. Like the last month of the regular season and coming into the playoffs. And I think another key thing here is, and this is kind of where we're seeing the improvements from last season is if this happened in game one last year, Sam Bennett wasn't in the lineup and Erik Staal was the number three center. And Erik Staal and Ryan Lomberg were both in the top nine last year. Now you have Stenlin, Stenlin, he has 11 goals this year, am I right? Like this guy is, I think he's capable, and he has it for majority of the year. He's capable of playing 11 to 13 minutes. He's got size. He's got some speed. He's got some skill. His
Yeah,
chemistry with Luostarinen.
Nick, I
So,
told you 14 plus minutes I could
yeah,
see
I
Stenlin.
mean, this guy, like, especially for the time being, that's a big thing. For the time being, it also helps that we have a 2-0 series lead. Don't get me wrong, right?
Yep.
But having a guy like Kevin Stenlin, who we've seen come up in the lineup, play kind of a defensive third line center role, but this is also a guy that put up 11 goals in the year. He's capable and he's got some skill
And
too. We've seen it on display.
we saw what he did against Connor McDavid, shutting him down earlier this year. And it's
Yeah,
just one a
it's
single
like
game, but that's
you see
impressive.
that goal against Buffalo, that shorthanded goal towards the end of the year. That takes some skill right there. Like
It's
a
just,
guy on your back and you're able to tuck it a short side like that, that's pretty impressive.
yeah, and but
A
I'm just
different
gonna,
level than what we saw with Eric Stahl last
yeah,
year, Cody. As much as Eric Stahl gave us, it's a different level.
I'm just gonna preface this by saying this. There are some things we're not gonna like replace with Sam Bennett, mainly the physicality. It's just when you have two other centers right now playing as good as anyone on the team right now, because Lundell, hell, he was the one that made that sweet pass to Verhaeghe for the OT winner in the game too. So just, I think this speaks more volumes of the way Lundell has played instead of like Bennett's injury per se. Because I don't know how you haven't lost like the last month and have and you're kind of like worried of that Bennett's gonna be out. Because I think because Lundell has done just enough to get by. And heck, ever since he's put with him and Tkachuk have low key nice chemistry for some reason. I
Yeah, I love
don't
their
know.
chemistry. I've always noticed that when those two get put together. And it doesn't mean it's always producing in goals, Cody, but just how they move through all three zones and our transition game really seems to pick up when they're together, even when they're
And
just put
I also
together
think
within one
it's
game.
important not to underestimate Anton Lundell's I don't want to say physicality, but his style of game, like the style of game he can play. Like Tkachuk, we know he's going to play along the boards and grind it out. Anton Lundell's been doing that a lot in the playoff, but did it a lot in the playoffs last year. He's doing it again this year. I mean, below the hash marks, you see him really grinding it out, having that cycle game with Lostarine in game one. And this is
It's
a
almost
guy.
like he's become the perfect Maurice player, Nick. Sorry to interrupt, but it's like how we're not seeing it in 82 games of the regular season. Like, what is he giving us like tonight? And oh, he just seems like really underwhelming, but he's buying into the Maurice system of like, when the playoffs are here, I'm ready to go. And he's kind of proving it again early on in these
Playoff
playoffs.
performer. Yeah, and it's going to be a good opportunity for him too.
Oh,
And
yes. All eyes are on him right now.
I was talking to a couple people earlier today on the phone. I'm like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, a guy I could really see him being comparable to for his, future 2C role is Anthony Cirelli on the Tampa Bay Lightning. A very defensively responsible two-way center, a guy that hasn't eclipsed 50 points in a regular season, but we know that Anthony Cirelli is a really good number two center. And I think that could be Anton Lundell. It's going to be interesting to see Lundell. Now he's going to get obviously more of an elevated role, right?
Yeah, I
But
mean, oh yeah,
I,
minutes,
but
everything. Yeah,
it,
I want to see some power play time for Lundell. I still don't understand. That's
get,
one of my gripes with Paul Maurice.
yeah, I mean, but it's going to be a great opportunity for him. And I think it's going to be a good opportunity for Stenlund too, because he's getting top nine time now. So
Yep,
it's going to be
he's the other
interesting
guy.
to see how the depth's tested. And obviously, Lomberg with the illness, we'll see what'll happen for line four. But it's obviously just nice having versatility. Like
The
so many
depths are
guys.
Gadjevich, Oposo. There's so many guys we didn't
I
have this
think you
last year.
throw Gadjevich in this series, to be honest, just because of the speed of the Lightning. I don't know if
Got
I'll
a little
close
bit
it.
more physicality, like Cody, you mentioned to me off air. They're not getting it from the Austin Watsons of the worlds, and they're not getting it from the Tanner Janots. So if you put Gadjevich in
Boy,
there, you're starting to
if
add
there is
more
a
size.
trade that has aged more poorly than Tanner Janot, man, they give like pretty much a whole draft class warm in a healthy bomb in the playoffs, especially when you give up like first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. That's damning right there. But another key for this series so far, the special teams has been in Florida's favor. And that's something I don't think. Kirby, we talked about it on the preview. I don't think we expected this for Tampa's
No.
power play to be this anemic.
Yeah, and a big part of that, of course, is Nikita Kucherov, who has not been good at all through these first two games. So yeah, we'll see it. We'll kind of see if that continues. Guys, as we kind of wrap here tonight on game one and game two, just let me know what you expect here out of games three, four. You don't necessarily have to give me predictions, but what are you just kind of sensing over these next couple of games? And then we'll be back for another Cats and Rats podcast episode breaking down games three and four. Nick, Cody.
I think it's gonna be a split at Amalie. I'm
That's
really
all
feeling
we
it.
really need, right? You know, come
Yeah,
back 3-1.
it's just you're feeling, because now I'm starting to feel that desperation come from Tampa. Cooper may try and tell me all they're calm. This is not the same group of guys that you've been calm with for the last couple of years. This is different.
It is different.
Like, you're starting to see, like, because Kucherov was doing a little bit of it, and I was net sensing it. He's getting a little bit chippy, which tells me he's getting frustrated. And it's just, I think
And
it's gonna.
when we start to see Stamkos do that, Hedman, and then Vasilevskiy's the big one, the head of the snake. If his body language starts to get, low, or he starts to, starts to be kind of boisterous in that net to the refs, to his defenseman in front of him, that's when it's almost game set match. And again, Nick's been a big proponent of this, like, let's focus one game at a time here. Some fans in the post game the other night, they're right. You guys are not enjoying this. Oh, we were enjoying it. I don't see how you cannot tell that we were enjoying it, but there's still a job at task here. And this is a championship DNA team in the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you can't count that out.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to go out easy, for sure, if they end up do going out. I think tomorrow is going to tell a lot. This is, I expect, I it's kind of weird of what to expect because, like, Kirby, we were talking, like, we didn't really have a good read on any of these first two games, like, in particular, game two. But and it was interesting to see because, like, in game two, I thought the Lightning were going to come out with that push, and it was the Panthers who did, right? Obviously,
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, first home game of the series, right? They're going to be pumped. It's a desperation mode for them because if they don't come away with a win in game three, then, it because starts to become really difficult, right?
And I just don't want to see the Panthers hand it to them in game three, like what they did in game two was stay disciplined, just like they did in game one to start
Right.
the game. Don't give them a power play in that first 5 to 8 minutes. Just do your best. That should be one of the most important game plans for the Panthers in game three. Even if they don't walk away with a win, that should be
But
at the top of the board. Don't give them a power play early.
this is probably if the Panthers are going to win game three, it's going to might it very well might be the most difficult game of the series for both teams because both teams re like obviously both teams want to win, but
And the big thing is that the
it
goalies carry over what
yeah.
they've been doing. That's the big point as well.
Florida, if you're the Panthers, you really want to come away with this win. And if you're Tampa Bay, you're like, we have to come away with this win. I think you're going to see some desperation from both sides. Obviously, more with Tampa. I think Tampa's going to come out pretty pumped up. They're at home. Again, I think it's important, and I said this on Spaces after game two, that it's important not to count Tampa Bay out because all it takes is one game, one moment, anything, right, to change a series. But I'll remain, and I said this on Spaces, and I'll say it again. I remain confident in our team and the game we play and what we can do. And I don't know what's going. I it's very hard for me to. I have no clue what's going to happen, right? I have
It's
no. I can't even like predict or anything because I'm.
just
Go ahead.
like I feel like all three of us are just like, okay, when's the real Tampa Bay coming back?
Yeah, because that's weird because it's like I'm expect it, and it could come in game three, but I've expected a major pushback and it hasn't, Tampa Bay
It
hasn't
hasn't
shown it yet.
materialized at
It
all.
hasn't materialized yet. So it's very hard for me to kind of gauge how this is going to go because, I thought game two, Tampa Bay was really going to, could really come away with it and not just come away with it, kind of break it open a little bit, and they didn't.
Yeah, I'm waiting for like that 5-2
Yep.
result in the favor of
And
Tampa.
I think, for example, I think one of these games is going to be a kind of that blowout type game, right? Now, I could be wrong, right? Overall, the moral of the story for me is I have no clue how these games are going to go, but I think tomorrow is going to be quite a grind for both teams because both teams aren't going to want to give anything.
Yep.
And we're going to see what happens, but again, if both goalies show up, it's going to be a heck of a game, as it's been a heck of a series. But again, I feel confident that if the Panthers come and play the game that they have played, right, and they continue to improve on the game that they played, there's a reason why we should feel confident. So That's all I'll say about that.
And
Cody, anything on your behalf on
just,
how game three and four is going to go?
If you ask me, gun to my head, I think it's game three win Florida. I think it's a game four win for Tampa. Just the desperation's got to come soon. If it doesn't, then that's a huge indictment on Tampa side. But like, but here's a stat for like game two, just to like kind of be clear, because in my opinion, the second period was Tampa's only period that they actually kind of won, because Florida's won every other period. Tampa had 15 shots on goal yesterday in the second period. Florida had 14, but I think Tampa had a lot more high danger. And the other three periods, because I'm including overtime in this, Tampa had 3 shots in the first, 5 in the third, 0 in overtime. I didn't even think they broke the blue line in overtime.
Yeah, that was a big point to me so far early on in this series. 0 shots in overtime. No threats.
And
As
because,
Carter Verhaeghe ends it.
I mean, talk about clutch. Verhaeghe's tied for third all time in OT playoff winners, and he's played half the games.
And again, everyone's listening to this podcast. You need to join us for the post game spaces. Like, it's off the chain when Carter Verhaeghe does these magical things. Matthew Tkachuk last year, Bobrovsky, all these special moments within Panthers lore and history. Now, you got to be there right after the game, and you just get the raw emotion from us, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's good that we record this not live, because there would be some colorful language and things like that that our producer and our Five Reasons Sports Network would have to edit out. So this is why we kind of record after the fact. And again,
don't worry, Manny, we got you.
We'll have these updates up and everything
but,
like that. But yeah, anything else, gentlemen, before we head here?
I mean, we're kind of locked in our Florida and 7 prediction, huh, Kirby?
Yeah, we kind of are. So not that we're cheering for Tampa, and I will take any type of sweep or Panthers in 5. But again, that's kind of where we were situated. And yeah. Like Nick mentioned too, we kind of expect that pushback from Tampa. So we'll see if they have it.
It's going to be interesting here.
Going to be interesting. So yeah, as we go out here, I just want to give a shout out to our Caneswear sponsor. We did another giveaway contest. Make sure to follow me at KJ_loops. That's LUPS. And also our Instagram page, cats_and_rats_podcast. And again, we'll do a $25 gift card giveaways there. Every playoff round here down the stretch. And we just want to let you guys know, Caneswear, you can get all Panthers gear there. It's not just Miami Hurricanes, Dolphins, Heat. There's a ton of Florida Panthers gear there. New gear that they have in, unboxing videos that I put on my Twitter page. So make sure to check those out. And just let you know, on Caneswear, Panthers fever is here. Are you geared up? Caneswear and Davie is a place for all your Florida Panthers needs. They have the latest gear for our favorite NHL team. Jerseys, polos, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Caneswear has you covered. Stop by their store in Davie or at pantherswear.com. Again, that's pantherswear, WEAR.com, for all your Panthers gear. And as we go out, as always, let's go Cats.